Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Yud Beis, the 12th Perek of Sefer Yirmiyahu. Very fascinating Perek in many ways. This Perek is a shorter one of only 17 psukim. It really can be framed in the following way. The first section is actually a question. The first section is a question, one of the oldest asked questions from time immemorial about the monotheistic religions asked, that Judaism is asked, Tzadikata Hashem, you are righteous Hashem, ki ariv elecha, ach mishpotim adaber osoch, I need to ask you a question of justice, madua derech rishoim tzolecha, how is it that the evil prosper? Yirmiyahu is asking in the time old question what's called theodicy, or tzadik v'ralo, how is it v'rosha v'tovloi, how is it that the evil who are prospering? Who are these evil people that Yirmiyahu is asking about? The Radak says he's looking at the Israelites of his time. Remember, he's talking about a time towards the end of Yeshayahu's rule and later where there is prosperity to a certain degree. And that prosperity is shared by those who are wealthy, those who are successful, or not necessarily the most upstanding individuals among Klal Yisrael. That's who he's asking about it. Whereas the Mitzuros David suggests that this is not referring to the Israelites, it's referring to the impending destruction by a terribly evil person whose name is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, every turn that he takes seems to be successful. He destroys and crushes nation after nation. How is it that these people could be successful? And is there going to ever be punishment for them? That's the question he asks. So the next immediate section runs from Dalet to Vav, which is a kind of enigmatic section. It's not a simple section. It seems more poetic. And embedded in the middle in Pasuk Hey is some sort of enigmatic answer. Listen to what this sounds like. Ki es raglim ratzta vayalucha. So you've run and you are now tired. Ve'eich tesachare es hasusim. How can you compete against the horses of Eretz Shalomata Boteach? You trust in the peace of the land. How can you possibly try against the strength or the pride of the Jordan River? What is going on over here? Is this an answer? How is this working? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph says that in fact that this is Hashem or the heavens responding to Yirmiyahu's question, and is responding in the form of a metaphor and saying the following. Imagine that there's a person who says, I can run 3 parasa in front of horses in the swampland, which is a very difficult thing to do. Horses are very fast, the swamplands are very treacherous to run in. But then he has a colloquial race with somebody he meets along the way, and they run 3 miles, 3 mil, on dry land and becomes very tired. So they respond to this fellow who is so haughty, who felt that he was so good at running, and they say, look, if you couldn't succeed running 3 mil, which is a shorter distance than 3 parasa, on dry land against a person, how can you possibly run 3 parasa in the swamplands against horses? That's the sort of the mashal given. The Gemara explains, Yirmiyahu, you are asking about the reward for the 4 paces, the 4 steps taken by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had some merits to his character. There were certain things that he did which he got schar for. And you're asking about why he's successful. Well, if I'm paying him back for very minuscule acts of kavod that he showed, then surely this should show you how much more those who served HaKadosh Baruch Hu truly, like Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, will in fact be getting. That's what the response that he is getting. Very fascinating way of looking at this. So the Gemara is saying this is the answer to his questions. The Radak takes this response in a little bit of a different direction, and he's really talking about, brings it back to the people of Anasais. Remember, the end of the last parak is where Yirmiyahu is preyed upon by the inhabitants of his own hometown in Anasais, who try to kill him, they try to poison him. And what this discussion over here is about how could it be that they're so successful and they're such terrible people? So the response over here is you know, don't worry, you've got to strengthen yourself. Don't, even though you feel that you've been hurt by these small townsfolk, these village folk, Don't worry, I'm going to give you the ability to run against the horses, meaning the powerful folks of Yerushalayim. Don't worry, I'm going to allow you to be successful there. There will be shalom. Don't think that you're done yet. And it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving chizuk to Yirmiyahu against the evil people in his own life. That's another way of looking at this. Okay, the next and the last two sections of this parak are also related to this. The next section is from Zion to Yud Gimel, and it's really about HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaving. Ozavti es beisi, notashti es nachalasi. I left my house. I abandoned my portion. Osati es yedidus nafshi bekafoy vera. I gave the dearness of my soul in the hands of the palms of my enemy. And ha'ayit tavur nachalasi lim, the ha'ayit saviv olea. So he talks about the vulture, the colored vulture, which means it's got its talons bloodied and it's circling around the mountain, and all the other beasts of prey come to prey on Yerushalayim as HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves it. What's happening in this section, I think, is perhaps another answer. I didn't see this in the Mefarshim, but I think this is another answer to Yirmiyahu's question. Madoa derech rishayim tzalecha, how could it be that the evil are successful? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are you making the evil successful? And famously, one of the answers that is explored by Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato in his book called Das Tevunos, about the existence of evil in this world, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not creating evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not orchestrating evil. Evil exists in the void of Hashem's presence. That means to say that if you can imagine, so to speak, the metaphor of light. So wherever there is no light, wherever shadow is cast, in those shadows is where exists the vacuum in which evil can succeed. That's what's called Hester Panim, where Hashem hides his face. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is explaining to Yirmiyahu, I have left this place. I have given a space, and in that void, into that void creep bad people. Into that void creep bad concepts. Into that void creates terrible things. That's how it exists. So it's another potential answer to Yirmiyahu. And finally, the last section of the parak runs from Yudalit to Yudzayin, which is the end of the parak, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the possibility of return. He talks about how all the terrible people come onto the land of Israel. I'm going to send them all of my inheritance. They're going to all return to their lands, and if they're going to learn from my people, good. And if not, I'm going to destroy them eternally. What's this referring to? So the Malbim says it's such a fascinating thing. The Malbim suggests over here that we're not talking about Israel returning to the land of Israel as much as it's referring to the exile process itself. As Israel sent to exile, Israel is scattered among the entire world, and every single country has its dose of Jews. And he says, if you're going to learn from their ways, if you're going to learn the monotheism and the concepts and the principles of God from them, then good, and if not, I'm going to destroy you. Which means to say, there's a point to exile. There's something that the Jews have to contribute to the world, to every single dark corner of the universe. Again, I believe this is potentially the third answer that Yirmiyahu was getting to his question. And that answer is that there is a purpose in all the suffering you're seeing and all the difficulties that you're noticing, you're questioning, you're looking to the future and you're seeing. Well, it's B'nai Yisrael's contribution to the world. And if you think about it, the world has come a whole long way since, 2,000 years ago. You know, where 2,000 years ago, people were celebrating their sports events with gladiators hacking people to pieces and people voting on who dies. Well, we certainly have, some risky entertainment industry, but it's not hacking people to pieces in the middle of Colosseums. Things have changed, and slowly but surely the world has, in its moral journey, been moving in a moral upward way through the journey towards monotheism, which has been influenced by Judaism. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.